Hello everyone, I'm Richard from Veg Grower Podcast and this is episode 102 titled My Potato Growing Plans for 2017. And today's day is the 6th of February 2017. Coming up today, I'm going to talk a little about the latest happenings on the plot, including a visit to Seedy Sunday, and then just discuss my potato plans. Got feelings it might be quite a long episode this week because I've got 3 pages of bullet points that I plan out. Normally it's about 1.5, so we'll see. Firstly, I've got a thank you to Karen who messaged me last week. Really good of you to message me. Really appreciate whenever I get anything. She said she's just started listening to the podcasts, so thank you very much for coming along. And she asked, last week I spoke about potatoes. I've already got out to chit and what they were. I responded to her and I said they were the home guard variety. Just to clarify in case anybody else wondered, that's the home guard variety. She messaged me back after that and sort of said they've got hold of the home guard, which I'm really pleased about. Fantastic. I really like them. And she asked whether or not to grow them in a different bed, of which I've said yeah. Always, the advice is always to change beds with most crops so you don't get a build up of pests and stuff in the soil. Some gardeners say you can get away with it, especially if you've got small plots, but there is a chance you can get build up pests and disease in the soil. So it's best to try and change it if you can. Okay, so let's get on with this week's show. We'll start, of course, with the diary. So, Saturday I went down the allotment and clearing weeds, hoeing the new plot and hand weeding the raspberries. However, the soil, because it's a clay soil and we had a lot of rain the night before and a few days, it was really sticky and muddy, and every time I tried doing something, it would just clog up. So it needs to dry out a bit more before I can really get that done. But I tried anyway. I've then started emptying one of the compost bins. It's the oldest stuff. And basically the stuff that's coming out of the compost bin, I'm using as a mulch on the raspberry beds. A lot of it is what I poured out of the potatoes from last year. So it's going to be used anyway. I've then planted out my broad beans that I had overwintered. These were sown back in November, if I remember right. And I've planted those out next to the peas. And they're growing pretty solid. They'll grow well. I'd hardened them off for the last week. They've been outside in the cold frame, just getting used to the colder temperatures rather than the greenhouse. How they get on, we'll see later on. Sunday, I went down to Seedy Sunday, which is basically a seed swapping event in Brighton they hold every year in February. First time I've actually been there, but I've heard a lot about it. In fact, last year, Gardener's Question Time was there. £3 entry, and they give away their own seeds in exchange for donations. And that's there's a law about seeds, which means they can't sell them and stuff. So, bit of a loophole. They can give you seeds, and you donate to the charity. It's a really good cause. However, I wandered around. They had quite a few stalls there. I wasn't there for as long as I would like, because I had my niece's birthday. But I wandered around, and they had quite a few stalls. Some selling other seeds, and other events. Later on in the day there was talks going on, but I missed some of those, which is a shame because I believe Sean James Cameron was having one, and I would like to hear it is he over at the Hort Channel. Anyway, I wandered around. I had a really nice chat with a lady at Permaculture Brighton. Really nice chat. Learned a bit about permaculture, which is something I've got a bit of interest in. I don't know enough about it, but I like the basic ethos over permaculture. It's basically a design system and what have you. Really, really worth looking at. I also set up, went to another stall about a lady who set up, she's a doctor doing some research called Cultivating Alternatives, and it's all about seed swapping and stuff. Her name was, let me just pull up her paperwork, Dr. Laura Pottinger is a researcher in geography at the University of Manchester, cultivating alternatives, crafting, sharing and propagating seed-saving practices in the UK as a PhD project funded by the University of Manchester School of Environment, Education and Development. Basically, I mean, she was giving away free seeds and she just asks everyone to keep in touch and let us know how they got on through either her email at laurapottinger@manchester.ac.uk or Twitter, and that's at Laura J. Pottinger. Stay in touch and tell her what seed saving means to you. Great idea. Love it. Absolutely love it. I then went to a beans and herbs stall. I'm going to add some of the links and stuff onto this. But yeah, a beans and herbs stall. I actually brought some climbing beans, heritage variety climbing beans, with the intention of saving seed. And the lady there, she basically said, have two different bean frames, one for eating and one you just leave the beans to dry, which I'm going to do this year. I brought a few other seeds, some quite interesting, such as pumpkin red turban and PSB kale, which I believe is purple sprouting broccoli and kale mixed into one plant, which I think sounds quite interesting. But we'll be growing those as we go on throughout the year. I've got so many leaflets and stuff, but I'll be adding all the links and stuff on the show notes if anybody is interested. After that, I went home and weeded the greenhouse and watered everything. Everything in there is growing really well. I've done a little video for that. That'll be on YouTube later this week. In there, everything's overwintered well. I've then planted a potato bucket with the home guard potatoes, a couple of the small ones, three smallest potatoes are in there, just to give me an extra early crop. I'm going to be discussing potatoes later on in the show, so I'm not going to go too much into that. Then went into my little potting shed and potted on the onions. It drove me mad. It's such a boring job potting on, but it needs to be done. Now, a lot of the onions are now taking up a lot of room. My entire shelf is full of these onions that have been potted on. But they've got to do it. It meant I had to have moved seedlings around. And I was a bit worried about some of the seedlings I took out of the propagator as it really got cold overnight. But I've checked on them today and they're okay. And these are some of the aubergine, the tomatoes and the kale. They seem okay. They're getting close to needing potting on. So I've got to do that very, very soon. I then sowed some broccoli, red onions and basil. And then I'm attempting to grow some sweet potato slips. Basically what I've done, I've got two sweet potatoes and I've got two plastic bottles. I've cut the tops off the bottles and turned them upside down and then put the sweet potatoes in the funnel. Then put some water in, so the bottom of the sweet potatoes are just in the water. Now, when you look at a sweet potato, there's a kind of triangular pointed end and a rounded end. Well, the pointed end is what is just sitting in the water. And that should then grow slips off the top, little shoots that will then go on to become plants. I'm not going to know what variety these are, but we will endeavour to do that in the future. So with that all wrapped, I'm going to chat about my potato plans. Firstly, I've got a list of the potatoes I'm growing this year. First variety is Home Guard. I've mentioned these many times already. An English variety that were bred in 1942 that became very popular. So obviously a wartime potato. They're classed as a heritage variety and a first early variety. I've already put a couple in a bucket in the greenhouse with some compost. I might do that again in another couple of weeks. And the rest will go in later on. I'm going to get on to the sowing times later on. I've been growing this variety for a couple of years now, and I'm really impressed with them. The hardest thing I've found with them is getting hold of them, getting hold of the seeds, but I managed to do it somehow. Next, I've got Aran Pilot, a UK favourite for 30 years, and a good all-rounder, producing medium-sized oval potatoes. Really good cropper. And the tastes are comparable with Jersey Royals. I find if you can treat them as new potatoes, i.e. you dig them up when they're flowering, or you stick your hand in the soil to get them. I'll discuss that again later. But I find if you left them mature, they're like a main crop as well. They get a lot bigger. So really good variety. International Kidney, or Jersey Royals as they're known if they're grown in Jersey. The name themselves is a protected designation of origin. A bit like Champagne or Cornish pasties, they can only be called that if they are produced in the area they're named after. Great story about how these potatoes came around. Developed in 1880 by a Jersey farmer who basically showed his mates a potato that had 15 eyes. This potato got cut and replanted to try and keep that 15 eyes going sort of thing, I guess. But one of the plants that grew from this potato grew kidney-shaped potatoes with a papery skin, of which was continued to be grown as a Jersey Royal Fluke. Now that name has been shortened to Jersey Royals. It's the first early salad potato. So, yeah, you pull it out, boil it, scrub it clean, boil it with the skin on. Really good in salads, potato salad, that sort of thing. Next, Charlotte, another second early salad variety. Very good eating. Very good eating. Many recipes will specifically state Charlotte potatoes in them, which is a good sign of how good they taste. I couldn't find any details on where it originated from or anything like that, I'm afraid. So I can't really tell you much about them. But they are a good variety, very tasteful. Sarpo Myra, I've grown this for a few years, in fact, and it's a blight-resistant variety. I grow this every year because just in case I ever get blight. I have to say, I've never actually got potato blight. Tomatoes, yes, but never potatoes. So I can't really speak on how I found its blight-resistant variety, but I have grown these at my old allotment when blight was really bad. They're a main crop. With a really good performer, and they are the original Sarpo variety, and some say with the highest blight resistance. They were launched in 2002, and they are pink-skinned and flowery potato. Next, I've got King Edward, another main crop. And it's been grown in the UK since 1902, which coincided with the coronation of King Edward VII. Although it was grown before that, but it wasn't recognised as the name as we call it, King Edward. A bit of a story about how that came along, I was reading. It's like one person grew it and they called it something else, and then they grew it. A couple of friends took the sea potatoes and grew it on, and then it went to, it eventually got somewhere else. And this bloke brought up all the seed varieties of this particular type he could find and grew them. And that was 1902 by that point, when he relaunched them as King Edwards for marketing. And it's gone on to produce, it's quite a well-known potato. Really decent size, very large potatoes, ideal for jacket potatoes. Next, my variety is Maris Piper. This is the last variety I've got on the list, you'll be pleased to know. This variety has been grown since the 60s and is the preferred potato from chip shops. Decent size, decent cropping potato, ideal for chips and roasting. I've been growing all these varieties for a few years now with pretty decent results. So how am I planning on growing them? So firstly, I'm going to start chitting them. And chitting is basically getting them a head start, to get them just sprouting while it's a bit cooler before they get planted out. Now, the idea is they've got a bit of a head start ahead of them. People I've seen on YouTube and things, not professional gardeners, sorry, but gardeners in the real world, some say they don't really see any difference. I've never really done an experiment to see any difference myself, so I'm just doing it this year because I've brought the potatoes already and they're starting to chit without any encouragement from me. So how I chit them, basically, if you look at a potato, especially a sea potato, you would see on one end there's like three little circles called eyes. You want that standing up. Egg trays is ideal for this. Put them somewhere light and cool, and they will grow short, stubby shoots. Now, if they're dark, they will grow long, leggy shoots that snap really easy. So the basic advice is grow them in light, or get them chitted in light. Now, I've already said I've planted some home garden in the greenhouse this weekend. I'm hoping they'll be ready by about May, which is why they're in the greenhouse. They've got a bit of a head start. I'm probably going to do another pot in a couple of weeks. But the first earlies will be planted out in early March. And that should give me the harvesting of young new potatoes around June time, with the exception of the greenhouse ones. The second earlies will be planted out about mid-March. It should give me potatoes around July, August time, which, being that they're new potatoes, is ideal for salads and things. And then the main crop varieties, they will be planted in early April. And they should give me crops about August, September time. Now, all my potatoes are going to be grown in potato bags and pots, which is going to mean I've got quite a few of them. But what I do, I half fill every bag and pot with manure and compost. I then plant the potatoes in. I'm doing two per pot this time, except for the ones in the greenhouse. Last year, I tried putting three in the bottom, filling it with compost, and then putting three more on top. I didn't think that worked very well at all. So I'm just putting two per pot about halfway down, and then filling it till the potatoes are covered with a bit more manure and compost. Covered by about an inch, shall we say. The potatoes should then grow through pretty happily. And once the potato stem gets about 6 inches above the soil, I'll be filling the bags up with more compost and manure till you can just sort of see the tops of the potatoes plants. And that'll be repeated until the bags are full. I'll also be adding potato fertilizer as I go along, and comfrey leaves, as they're very good for potatoes. Potatoes are really hungry plants, really hungry and really thirsty, so they need a lot of feed and a lot of water. Comfrey leaves is really good for them. I've got it grown on the allotment, and they grow quite happily down there, so I'm not going to have to pay any feed. But I do like to buy an organic potato feed, just to add to the compost and stuff as well, just granulated. Then I'll leave the pots to grow until I've harvested them. Now, the first earlies and second earlies that I'm growing for sort of salad-y crops, I'll be harvesting those when the flowers show on the plants. So you get the flowers on there. And basically when I want some, I'd put my hand under the soil, into the pot, and try and find some potatoes, fill some potatoes at about egg size. Pull them out and wash them, ready to go. But that will also leave the potato plant to grow. Eventually that potato plant will die back, and that's fine. Don't worry about that. Because then I would, once they've died back, I like to leave it a couple of weeks just to get all the nutrients into the potatoes. I can then start harvesting the bags fully, and all I do is I lift the bags up and sieve through the bags by pouring it onto the compost heap through a sieve, taking out any potatoes I find along the way. Quite simple, really, and this method really works for me. I find it efficient and easy. Many gardeners grow them in the soil, and that's fine. And what they normally do is earth up the soil around the potato plant. I don't do that because I like the no-dig method of gardening, especially as I've got a clay soil. Digging around for the potatoes is backbreaking work. However, there is a kind of theory that potatoes break the soil. I don't think that's true. I think it's the gardener harvesting the potatoes that kind of break the soil. But anyway, if you've got compacted soil. Yeah. Any potatoes bags that I haven't harvested, I just leave them as they are. But I will be mulching with straw on top just to keep a bit of a heat in. Through the winter and keep the frosts off the potatoes. I harvested the last of my potatoes in January this year, so they lasted right through the winter. Some of the ones on the top had been affected by frost, so the straw on top or mulch is just going to keep that insulation through, and hopefully they won't get frosted as much. But they were perfectly edible. Basically, potatoes store best in the ground, in my opinion. So I found leaving them in the bag was fine. When you dig them up, you know, they can last quite a while in potato bags and dark storage, but they're just not as good as in soil, I don't think. So I'll be doing that in the future. So, yeah, that's basically how I'm growing potatoes now. Of course, any questions or anything, get in touch and I'll happily answer them. Okay, so Friday I put out a post. And as I do every Friday, it was a news release. And it was a bit of a difficult one last week because it was all over the news. This was supermarkets rationing items, vegetables in the shops, And it was all over the news on Thursday, Friday, and I wasn't going to write about it, but in part because it had something to do with the post I put out a couple of weeks ago. However, I kind of couldn't ignore it. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I said basically it's down to supply and demand and the weather in Europe, Spain and Italy has been pretty poor and has affected crops. And that still stands. My moan on that was, we're eating out of season and expecting things that are summer crops during the winter. That still stands, but my complaint with Friday's article was more to do with the fact that they're saying rationing. And rationing instantly conjures up memories of World War II and thoughts of World War II. Now, I've done quite a bit of research into World War II things for a future podcast that I'm planning to talk about, the Dig for Victory campaign. So I got an idea on what was going on. But the restriction the supermarkets were making, I felt, was more to stop restaurateurs and places like that from buying too much, because it was restricting free iceberg lettuces per person. Well, I don't know about you, but I've never bought more than one in a go. And it was three broccoli heads per person. Again, I've never bought more than one in a go. So to buy three, that was quite a lot of food. So I kind of felt this was just there to annoy people and try and get people's backs up, in my personal opinion. I have to say, when I went to my supermarket, I didn't see any rationing. So is it going on? I don't know. I can only take what I saw at face value on the news. But that's not to take away the fact that the weather in Spain and Italy has been poor. And this is not going to go away anytime soon. This is a problem this year. Maybe better next year, who knows, we'll see. Okay, so I'm wrapping up for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Let me know what you think in the comments. I'll happily hear from you. If you want to get in touch, like Karen did, it's richard@thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk. I'd love to hear from you. It really boosts me whenever I hear from anybody. It really does. If you want to support the show and the work that I do, you can do your shopping through my Amazon link, again in the show notes. Really appreciate it. Doesn't cost you any more than the products you're buying. All it does is I get commission. And I really appreciate it, because then I can invest back into better software, making the Veg Grower podcast a much more interactive, much more what you want. So I'm going to wrap up now. Thank you very much for listening. This has been the longest show I think I've done for a very long time, 28 minutes. And I will speak to you all again next week.